So far, we've looked at several dimensions, still working our way up to Salah. We haven't really gone into the door of Salah as of yet. We've spoken about the importance of keeping your attention within the parameters of Salah, and whenever you are distracted, to bring it back to Salah. And then we added another layer to that, which was the importance of understanding the different movements and statements of Salah. And then we added another three layers on top of that. All of this is before you come into Salah. The layer of hope, coming into Salah with Raja, huge expectations from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And then we added another layer on top of that, which is the dimension of what? Al-Khawfu wal-Khashya, fear and awe of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And then we added another dimension on top of that, which is the layer of Mahabba, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we expounded upon each of these. And then we began to move into other aspects as we go nearer to the confines of Salah. We spoke about wudu and the virtues of wudu. We spoke also about making preparations for Salah in terms of your outfit, how you will dress, whether you are coming to the masjid or whether you are praying at home. We also spoke about aspects pertaining to coming to the masjid and why this is far more superior than praying at home, and all of the khair, the goodness that comes with coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we addressed our brothers and we addressed our sisters. And then we spoke about, what was the last heading before we concluded? What did we speak about before we left off last week? Who remembers? See? Adhan, yeah? The call to prayer. And we spoke about the history of the Adhan, at what point it was legislated in the city of Medina, how it entered into our religion, who are the ones who saw it as a dream, and how it came, how it was legislated in the religion of Islam. There is one more aspect pertaining to the Adhan I wanted to wrap up before we proceed. To take a delve into the words of Adhan. Since you are hearing them, if you are living near a masjid at least, multiple times a day, what does the statement of Adhan entail? The Muaddin, he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, four times. Allah is greater, Allah is greater, Allah is greater, Allah is greater. And this repetition is intended. It is a clear reminder to every able-bodied, sane Muslim who is able to carry out the salah and is aware of it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all of your expectations and He is greater than your aspirations and anything that may be distracting you from salah at that moment of adhan, realize that it is beneath your Lord and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above it. If it is trade that's occupying you at the time when you hear the adhan being called for salah, realize that Allah is Akbar, He is greater than your trade. So leave your commerce, leave your business, log out and come to the masjid and come to He who is Akbar, who is greater than your trade. If at the time of adhan what is distracting you, what you are preoccupied with at that moment is time with family, browsing through social media, a meal that you are enjoying, your favorite show that you are watching, revision for an important exam, time with your children, time with your friends, whatever it may be, and whoever you may be spending time with, realize that Allah is Akbar. He is greater than all of them. So leave what is dani, what is lowly in comparison to your Lord, and come to Allah who is Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And that is why there is a fear for a person who hears the adhan and is able to pray and purposely and consciously, intentionally abandons the salah. There is a fear for this person's iman and his status as a Muslim. Because you are hearing the muadhin saying, either literally you're hearing it physically or metaphorically because you know the adhan is happening somewhere in the world, Allah is greater. And then you allow the aspects of dunya to distract you as if to say, what I am doing is greater than the call for salah. Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَى. Have you not considered he who has taken his desire as his God? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say in the Sahih, تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّنَارِ تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّرْهَمْ تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الْخَمِيصَ تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الْقَطِيفَ تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الْقَطِيفَ أَوْ الْخَمِيلَ. Meaning, miserable is the slave of the dinar. Miserable is the slave of the dirham, the pound on the dollar. Miserable is the slave of garments, clothes. Miserable is the slave of velvet. So any person who allows any aspect of his or her life, their worldly interactions, to distract them from the salah, yet they hear Allahu Akbar, it's as if they are saying there is something greater than the call for salah and the obligation from my Lord. Allahu Akbar, four times, just in case anyone fails to remember. And then the adhan goes on to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah Jalla Jalalu. The most central of all realities, Tawheed, it all goes back to this. All your adoration, your obsession, your yearning, your ambitions, your love, your hope, they rest with Him. And that's why you leave everything and you say, I go to worship Allah. Ashhadu, I testify, I witness, as if I have seen it with my own eyes. Shahada, as if I have seen it in my own eyes. I can testify in a court if need be, because I am a witness to the oneness of Allah, as if I have seen it firsthand. Ashhad, I testify. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah. How will you worship Allah? Upon which methodology? And following whose footsteps? The adhan goes on to say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's as if the first part of the adhan is identifying for you the ma'bud. Who is the object of worship? Who is al-ma'luh? Who is the God whom you are adoring? That is Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The second part of the adhan gives you the way to that God, the way, the path that leads to the pleasure of that creator. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, upon the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first part of the adhan identifies who you are, who it is whom you're worshipping. And the second part of the adhan identifies the pathway that leads to that worshipped ilah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you say, hayya ala salah, the muaddin says, come to prayer, come to salah. Meaning, if you are claiming to be a person of tawheed, who loves Allah and places Him above all, and if you are claiming to be a Sunni Muslim who places the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam above everything else, then your immediate priority and number one ambition in life is to fulfill your salah. Hayya ala salah. Rush to the prayer. And if you have come to salah, what have you automatically achieved? You've achieved success, falah. So the muaddin now says, hayya ala falah. Come to success. As if to say that if you want a definition of success, realize that success is in salah. Your dunyawi and your ukhrawi issues, the resolution of those problems are found in salah. Hayya ala salati, hayya ala falah. And if any one of your friends was to wake you up 5 a.m. in the morning and say to you, bro, there is a huge business opportunity waiting for us, I'm telling you, we will be successful. And you say, give me the details. He says, ya akhi, just trust me. Am I not your father? Am I not your brother? Am I not your cousin? Am I not your son? Am I not someone you trust me? You will go with him because you trust that success is in his recommendation. How then should it be when Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says to you, hayya ala salah, come to prayer, hayya ala al-falah, come to success, this will bring you success. And subhanAllah, what is interesting is that for every statement of adhan you hear, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, we as listeners of the adhan, we're supposed to repeat as he says. He says Allahu Akbar, we say Allahu Akbar. He says ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we do the same. With the exception to when the muaddin says hayya ala salah, come to prayer, hayya ala al-falah, come to success, here you don't repeat as he says. What do you say? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You say there is no power and might except in Allah. as if to say that my ability to come to the prayer and my ability to therefore succeed, this is all from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. I have no strength. I of myself can do nothing. If I'm able to do the wudu and come to the masjid, this is from you, O Allah. If I'm able to carry out a salah, that is from you, O Allah. If you accept it from me, that is from you, O Allah. So when the muadhin says, come to prayer, come to success, you surrender. You say, there is no power and there is no strength except in Allah, Jalla Jalalu. And this is a humbling reality and a very appropriate preparation for salah. Hayya ala salati, hayya ala al-falah. Then the muadhin says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, another two times, just in case you forgot, and it's only been maybe 30, 40 seconds since he started, but this is the nature of insan, he is forgetful. ما سمي الإنسان إنسانا إلا لنسيه ولا القلب إلا أنه يتقلب, as the poet he says. The only reason why insan was called insan is because of his nisyan, his forgetfulness. And the heart was called qalb because it continues to move, continues to change. Allahu Akbar, the muadhin, he says, Allahu Akbar, remember he is greater. And then the adhan takes you back to the most central of all realities, tawheed, the oneness of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. He says, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah Subhanahu. These are the words of adhan that are being uttered every second of the day, thousands of times across the entire mass of the globe. Wherever the adhan finishes, it starts in another place. And it finishes in that other place and it sets off in another place. Every second of the day, starting from the eastmost part of the mass of the globe, go to East Indonesia and start from those islands there. Adhan is happening thousands of times by the thousands of the masajid that are there. And move westwards to the west of Indonesia, going into Jakarta, the adhan is happening. It stops in one place and it starts off in another. And you cross over into Malaysia. It finishes in Indonesia, it starts again in Malaysia. From Malaysia, you cross over into Burma. It finishes in Malaysia, it starts in Burma. It finishes in Burma, it starts in Dhaka, in Bangladesh, and Sylhet, and all of the other regions there. It finishes in Bangladesh, it, subhanAllah, it starts again in India. It finishes in India, it starts in Pakistan. And you continue moving to the lands of Afghanistan and Baghdad, Iraq, the adhan is happening. And then you move on to the UAE, Muscat before that, and the Middle East, and Sham, Jordan, Palestine, the adhan is happening thousands of times a day. And then it finishes there, and you move a little bit more. You go to Africa and those regions, and the adhan is happening there. Every second of the 24-hour clock, Allah's name is being glorified and His oneness is being declared and the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being announced. La ilaha illallah. Then when the adhan finishes, there is a dua that the Muslim is supposed to say that I'm sure most of you have memorized. But to be honest, because we say it so much, it's easy to devalue it, to not see its true merit and worth. Let us refresh that for a moment because this is part of the preparation for salah. Imam al-Bukhari narrates on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Man qala hina yasma'u al-adhan," whoever says the following words after he hears the adhan. What words? Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma. Oh Allah, memorize it if you don't know it. O Allah, Lord of this perfect call, wa salati al-qa'ima, and Lord of this established prayer, aati Muhammadan al-wasila wal-fadilata, give Muhammad, O Allah, give him the wasila, give him the favor, the fadila, wa ba'athu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adta, and raise him to the station of praise that you promised him. And in some narrations that were authenticated by some, إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ, because you, O Allah, you never fail in your promise. He said, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, whoever says these words after the adhan, حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, he is to be assured of my intercession on the day of judgment. rewind, unpack that dua sentence by sentence for you to appreciate what you are saying. Mighty words. You say, Allahumma rabba hadihi da'wati tamma. Oh Allah, Lord of this perfect call. What does it mean, the perfect call? It means the call of tawheed, the call of the oneness of Allah that is found in the adhan. Oh Allah, Lord of this perfect call. وَالصَّلَاةِ الْقَائِمَةِ And oh Allah, the Lord of this established prayer, meaning the prayer that was announced, the Isha Salah, the Fajr Salah, the Dhuhr Salah, Lord of the established prayer. This is one of the two interpretations. And then you say, آتي مُحَمَّدٍ وَسِيلَةً Give Muhammad the wasila. The wasila, if you want to translate it literally, it means the means. The vehicle that takes you from something to another. Give him the wasila. And the Prophet ﷺ explained what that wasila was, that he wants us to pray that Allah gives him on the Day of Judgment. Sahih Muslim, he says that al-wasila is a place in Jannah that is only befitting for one of Allah Almighty's creation. وَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَنَا هُ And I hope that I will be that person. It's the uppermost and most noble part of Jannah, called al-wasila, that will only be befitting for one individual from all of creation. And the Prophet ﷺ says, I am hopeful that I will be that person. So you say, oh Allah, Lord of this perfect call, and Lord of this established prayer, give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam al-wasila. We've understood that. He said, wal-fadila, the virtue. Give him also the virtue, or give him the favor. The scholars have said what this means is that it is al-manzila allati hiya fawqa sa'ir al-khala'iq. It's in reference to a position that is a notch higher than all of the other creation. So you are saying, give him the fadila, the virtue, the favor. It means give him a status that is higher than everyone else's. Clear? Give him al-wasila and give him al-fadila. And then you say, وَبَعَثْهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدَّهُ And raise him to the station of praise that you have promised him. What is this maqam al-mahmood, this praised station? This is in reference to الشَّفَاعَةُ الْعُظْمَى, the grand intercession that he will be gifted on the Day of Judgment. And because of this shafa'ah that all of humanity will see, only he has access to, they will praise him. And that is therefore the praised station. What happens is that because of the agony of the Day of Judgment and the years upon years of waiting and the cramming and the density and the sweating of Yawm al-Qiyamah and its darkness and fear and anxiety, people will begin to reach a tipping point. And on that day of reckoning, they will go to the Prophet of Allah, Adam, and they will beg him, please, even if it means that we will go to hell, intercede on our behalf to Allah so that the judgment begins, paradise or hell, but we can't stay here, it's too much. And Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, will decline. He says, I cannot do this, and he will give his reasons, and he will say, go to the Prophet of Allah, Nuh, Noah. And they will all go to the Prophet of Allah, Nuh, and they will say to him, please intercede on our behalf. Ask Allah to begin the reckoning, even if it means we go to paradise or hell. And he will decline, and he will give his reason, and he will send them to the Prophet of Allah, Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Ibrahim will also decline, and he will give his reasons, and he will send them to the Prophet of Allah, Musa, Moses. And Musa, alayhi salam, will decline, and he will give his reason, and he will send them to the Prophet of Allah, Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus. And he will decline, but he will not give a reason. And then he will say to them, you are to go to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And people begin to flock to our Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And they complain of the situation, and they plead, they say to him, please intercede on our behalf and ask Allah to begin the reckoning. And he will say, ana laha, I am the one for this task. I am the one for this task. And he will make his way, and he will stand beneath the throne of Allah, jalla jalalu. And he will prostrate, and Allah will inspire him during his prostration to praise Allah with words that no human being has ever used to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will inspire him, and then Allah will say to him, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, irfa ra'sak, raise your head. Wasal tu'ta, ask and you will be given. Washfa' tu shaffa', and make your intercession, it will be accepted. And he will say, Allahumma ummati, ummati, O my Lord, my nation, my nation, my nation. And it is at that moment that the reckoning begins. And all of humanity in their billions will see this. That no one had access to this shafa' al-ulma, this grand intercession that begins the judgment, other than our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he will be praised by all of creation. And this is al-Baqam al-Mahmud. This is the station of praise. So you say in your adhan, وَبَعَثْهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدَّهُ. Give him the station of praise that you have promised him. Where was he promised the station of praise? In which surah of the Quran? Which surah of the Quran? Yeah, Surah Al-Isra. Ayu ayah? Yes. Yeah. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدَ بِهِ نَافِلَةً. Allah says to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, pray at night. Engage in voluntary salah at night. Why? Allah said to him, عَسَى رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Because it may be that your Lord will raise you to a station of praise. Pray at night. Because it may be that your Lord will raise you to a place of praise. And this word asa, which we've translated as perhaps or maybe, as Ibn Uyayna and others have said from the scholars, that whenever you see asa in the Quran, it is للتحقيق. It is to serve a definite purpose. So when the Quran says asa, perhaps, it means for sure. Perhaps your Lord will raise you to a station of praise, meaning for sure Allah is going to raise you to a position of praise. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So hear the dua again. And you are now understand it. You understand it sentence by sentence. O Allah, رَبَّ هَذِهِ دَعْوَةِ التَّامَةِ, Lord of this perfect call. وَالصَّلَاةِ الْقَائِمَةِ, and Lord of the established prayer. آتِ مُحَمَّدٍ الْوَسِيلَةَ وَالْفَضِيلَةِ, give Muhammad the wasila, the position in Jannah that is only for him. وَالْفَضِيلَةِ, a notch higher than all of creation. And give him the maqam al-mahmood الَّذِي وَعَدْتَ, give him the position of praise that you have promised him. He says, whoever says these words, حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, my intercession will be a guarantee for him on the Day of Judgment. And don't belittle your need and my need of the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam on يوم القيامة. And as you just heard, his intercession will not be rejected. That benefits sinners like me. Those perhaps whose sins are too weak or too much, and their good deeds are too weak, not carrying them to paradise, that's when his shafa'ah, his intercession, comes to use. Others who are given paradise without hisab, without adab, without accountability, without judgment, that part of this is through shafa'ah, intercession. And others, Muslims, who've entered hellfire and they are deserving of its oblivion, it's through the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that some of them will be allowed to leave. So it's a shafa'ah you need. And what do you need to do to access this huge opportunity? The dua that you just heard. So memorize it. There is another dua before we move on, which Muslim narrates on the authority of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever says the following words after adhan, which are, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah alone without any partners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and I testify that Muhammad is his abd, his worshipper and his messenger. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا, I am satisfied with Allah as my Lord. وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا, and I'm satisfied with Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as my messenger. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا, and I'm satisfied that Islam is my religion. غُفِرَ لَهُ ذَنْبُهُ, all of his sins will be forgiven. Memorize it, Sahih Muslim, La ilaha illallah. These are two sample dua that you can say after your adhan. Brothers, sisters, the joy of meeting with the beloved doesn't start from when that contact happens. It doesn't start when the meeting happens. The joy of meeting the beloved starts from as early as when the announcement is made that the beloved is getting closer, the beloved is nearing. Imagine yourself at an airport, and there is someone who is very dear to your heart, whom you've been separated from for years on end, be it your spouse, be it anyone else. And you're there waiting eagerly to see when the plane is going to land. And you're looking at the notice board, and then all of a sudden you see an announcement that is flickering. You see the code of your airplane that you're waiting for, and its number and its name, and it says landed. The type of happiness and joy that you will be reunited and you will meet the one whom you've been separated from for so long. It's a feeling we've all experienced. Your adhan, the call to the prayer that you hear, that is the notice board for your salah. That is the announcement that the meeting with the beloved Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is nearing. So show Allah that you are excited to meet him. Man ahabba liqa'a Allahi أحب الله لقاءه. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah will love to meet him. وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah will hate to meet him.